How's it going, everyone? Welcome to our first ever edition of the Backyard SEC. This is our inaugural episode. It's just, I felt it was time. A little bit about me. My name's Stephen Schock. I played baseball at Virginia, played baseball at UMBC, even played baseball at Appalachian State University for a year, even though they deleted me from, you know, their history books. But either way, I host the Backyard Bullpen podcast, where every week I give updates every Thursday on what's going on in college baseball, and I'll interview athletes, you know, guys who had good weekends from college baseball, and just kind of share and spread the good word of college baseball, because college baseball is rad, and I think that's what it deserves. Now, I never played in the SEC, but after covering college baseball for a number of years, one thing's very apparent, and that's the SEC. It just means more, you know? I hate to say it as someone who played in the ACC. I actually don't hate to say it at all, because I think it's really cool how seriously they take college baseball in the SEC. So every Monday, I'll be releasing an episode of the Backyard SEC where I just kind of recap what's been going on in the SEC in case you missed any action, or maybe you're a fan of one team, but you haven't been keeping up with the others, and you want to know what to expect out of them. So this episode will be a little bit longer. I'm going to try to keep them all to about 20 to 25 minutes. But as we have a lot of out-of-conference play, we got to talk about essentially double the amount of games. Now, I was never an SEC player on opening day, but I was definitely one of those guys at these smaller schools ready to get our dicks handed to us by bigger schools on opening weekend. But when I was playing at UMBC on opening day and opening weekend, one thing I think about was like, hey, this is our one shot all season to really prove ourselves on a big stage, because come conference play, not really many people were tuning into the America East. So I know what it was like to be at this small school and go to these big schools and, you know, kind of coming in with a big old chip on our shoulder. And honestly, it's a great time for these SEC teams and these bigger schools to knock the rust off before conference play comes. And again, it's just one of those times where you have these smaller schools coming in, big old chip on their shoulder. You're the SEC. You got a target on your back. And so these teams are going to play very hard baseball, and it's not going to be the easiest weekend. It's not always a cakewalk. Sure, a lot of these teams ended up sweeping, but it wasn't necessarily the easiest. So let's get right into it. Starting off with Texas A&M, they swept Elon and Michael Early's coaching debut. And like I said, not always easy to do. Game one was a little bit shaky. It was a pitcher's duel between Ryan Prager and Justin Mitrovich. Eventually, A&M took the lead. Freshman Blake Binderup hit his first collegiate home run to really seal the deal on this one. And this A&M team, there's a ton of hype around them coming into the season. And at first, Elon really gave them a run for their money. They scored two runs in the sixth inning. And that was before A&M, I believe, even got their first hit of the ball game. And then, of course, A&M did what they do best and ended up putting up a three spot in the bottom of the sixth, kind of crushing Elon's hope there. And then later on in the game, Blake Binderup did his thing. But it was very interesting because it was a really slow start for the Aggies. And I know a lot of people were probably like, okay, well, their coach left. A lot happened this offseason. Maybe Mike Orley's not ready. Well, from talking with the players, from watching these games, Michael Early is definitely ready. He knows what he's doing. And come game two and three of the weekend, A&M was on full display offensively. It was really just back to them, their old selves. In game two, Jace LaViolette had two home runs. And then we also saw home runs from Gavin Grahovac and Hayden Schott, which we always love to see. We love to see Hayden Schott doing well. He's one of those goofy guys, so I feel like he's got a particular target on his back because everyone knows about him, and everybody knows that he's just a happy-go-lucky guy. So seeing him have success makes me very happy. And then in Game 3, Jace LaViolette, of course, starts the game off, hitting his third home run of the season. We saw home runs from Caden Kent and Jacob Galloway. And again, it was just another full display of what A&M can really do. And what I expect to see out of them this season, I think, you know, these thumpings are going to be more and more common as the season goes along. And so I think they're ready for SEC play already. Moving along to another team that handled business this weekend, we got Tennessee, the Volunteers, They had a three-game sweep of Hofstra, in which they only played 21 innings. I don't know. For those of you following along at home, typical college baseball game is going to run you about 27 innings because it's nine inning, or typical weekend's going to run you about 27 innings because it's three nine-inning games. But Tennessee kept run-ruling everyone. So in game one, Liam Doyle, the Ole Miss transfer, absolutely shoved. He went five innings pitch with 11 punch-outs in his Tennessee debut. And he was doing this with the fastball in the upper 90s, which that's just a very rough welcome to the season for Hofstra and the Pride. Now, in game one, Andrew Fisher hit his first home run as a Vol. He's another guy transferring in from Ole Miss. And honestly, his swing is so perfectly fit for Lindsey Nelson. I expect to see him put up some insane numbers this season. But it felt like everyone in their lineup went yard at some point. They finished the weekend with seven home runs as a team, and not a single person had multiple home runs. And that's not because they aren't good, it's because they wanted to share the wealth. One of my favorites to watch was Hunter Ensley. He just, when he hits home runs, he cranks them. He gets his money's worth for sure. It's not really necessarily wall scrapers. Another guy that I was really impressed with in this Tennessee lineup is Louisville transfer Gavin Killen. He already has two triples, which one thing about him was he has insane speed. Of course, last season he had a bunch of home runs, bunch of doubles. He was one of my favorite guys to watch personally in the ACC last year, even though he was playing for Louisville and kind of beaten up on all the other teams in the ACC. But it was really fun to see him have success this weekend. Now, Tennessee, they're coming off a season where they win the national championship, so you really can't put a larger target on someone's back. But ever since Tony Vitello has taken over this program, they've been an absolute force in college baseball. I feel like everyone wants to go into Tennessee and make a name for themselves. It's a great place to do it because everyone is going to be watching. And Tennessee made sure Hofstra did not have the chance to do that this weekend. Now, another team that went absolutely off was the LSU Tigers, which should come as a surprise to absolutely no one. Jay Johnson is one of the best team builders in all of college baseball. And I think he did a great job with just the guys he added from the portal, combined with the talent that they already have down in Baton Rouge. They swept Purdue Fort Wayne, and it did not look like a very fun weekend to be Purdue Fort Wayne. First off, Chris Stanfield, very fast. He held it down in center field. He's an Auburn transfer. It felt like every ball that was hit into center field, the guys from Purdue Fort Wayne were like, all right, we got a chance. And then Chris Stanfield just appeared under it. He is a walking highlight reel. And I expect I'm going to be tweeting a bunch of his highlights this season. Now, on the mound is where LSU really shined. It was just unfair at points. They had Cade Anderson shoving. He went five innings with eight punchouts. Freshman William Schmidt made his collegiate debut. He was sitting 95-96 out of the pen in 2.2 scoreless. And let me just tell you, I don't know when it happened, but all these, 18 and 19 year olds coming to college and throwing 95-96 is just getting ridiculous at this point. You know, there's seniors who have worked their way to throwing that hard. There's a lot of seniors who have actually worked their way into not throwing that hard, but sure would like to. And to see these guys, I don't know where LSU finds them. I don't know how they do it. But to constantly roll out guys throwing 95-96, just absolute freaks on the mound. As a fan of just the college game, super fun to watch. The pitching staff ended up throwing 27 innings, only surrendering 14 hits, two walks, and two runs, while striking out 45 dudes. Chase Shores was also back on the mound for the Tigers in the first time since 2023. He went five innings, only gave up three hits, one run, zero walks, and seven Ks. This is a dude who, with LSU having him back, is going to be absolutely massive for him. Now, another guy that was really impressive was Daniel Dickinson. He was not dicking around on opening weekend. He went 5-for-9 with a double and a home run in his LSU weekend debut. He's a Utah Valley transfer, very highly touted. He's great defensively, but also with the bat, he's just an absolute wizard. Now, a team that had a rather interesting weekend was Ole Miss. They were down at Shriners for the college baseball tournament down there. And I love these tournaments personally because Some teams will schedule an easy opening day, which allows for a lot of runs to be put up, a lot of leeway for coaches to just throw different guys into different situations, which in my mind is really good for college baseball players to get that experience early in the season and get their feet wet to the point where it's like, okay, we have a 10-run lead. We can throw in just about whoever here, maybe let a pitcher hit. They never do anymore. It was cool back when they did, but they have this leeway to the point where it's like, okay, we can throw anyone out there. Okay, maybe it's a freshman who we think is going to be good, but we're kind of on the fence about. He had a good fall and a good early spring leading up to the season, but he hasn't really been tested. We've only been playing against each other, which can get pretty mundane, pretty boring. And so you can throw guys in those situations. The Shriners College Baseball Tournament, not really the case to do that. Ole Miss was down there. They went 2-1. They beat Arizona, then got run ruled by Texas, and then run ruled Clemson. And Clemson's a very good team. All these games were against ranked opponents. It was an insane weekend of baseball. But what I love about Ole Miss is getting run ruled by Texas. Texas, of course, new to the SEC. This is their first year. They go, okay, we're going to play an SEC opponent, see how we do. Ole Miss just lays down, just says, hey, you know what? Let them walk on us. Because this game, it doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. Come conference play, or God forbid we see each other in the tournament when it really matters, that's when we're going to turn it on. They're just straight up hustling Texas baseball, and I really respect them for that. Now, one thing, they're working to get back on track this season in 2024. It wasn't their best performance. They, of course, won the national championship in 2022 in a season where it was like, okay, are they going to get into the tournament? And then as soon as you gave them an opportunity, Tim Elko and all his friends were like, hey, let's just never lose again. But they're working to get back on track. And a big part of that will be Hunter Elliott being back. He made his debut for Ole Miss, his 2025 debut. This kid's pitched for Ole Miss plenty of times, but he was looking like himself. Honestly, he just really shoved against a very good Arizona team. It's a lineup where outs are pretty hard to come by, and he got a good amount of them, or they had a good bit of transfers out, I will say. But having Hunter Elliott back, having him kind of be a staple of this team once again, he's a natural leader. I mean, when he was a freshman, he had so many big moments for the Rebels in that College World Series run. So having him back's got to be comforting for fans, got to be comforting for just everyone involved with Ole Miss baseball. Now, another guy who's gotten off to a hot start for the Rebels that fans should be excited about has to be junior infielder Luke Hill. He transferred in from Arizona State last season. He's currently hitting 5-for-9. Of his 5 hits, one of them's a triple, two of them are home runs, and he's got 6 RBIs. He's slugging a 1.444. This kid is absolutely dubious at the plate. You don't want to mess with him. And then he's a wizard with the glove as well. He's a very impressive athlete. So he's someone I think Ole Miss fans should be excited about, who's poised and ready to have a huge 2025 season. Another guy I think Rebels fans should be excited about has to be Hayden Federico. He really impressed this weekend in one game. He only got one start and played in one game, but he's currently 3-for-5 on the season with 1 double and 2 RBIs. So this is a kid who immediately has gotten into the lineup and made an impact. And I think he'll do that throughout the rest of the season as well. Now, moving along to Texas. Of course, I don't think there was a team that was talked about more negatively on social media than the Texas Longhorns, just between the offseason. And to be fair, I think that's really good for college baseball because every good story needs a good villain. And I feel like Texas baseball, they're a polarizing program to begin with because they're so large and they're so impressive. But, taking a big rival's head coach the day after the season ends is going to get a lot of eyeballs on your program. And it's going to get a lot of people rooting for you to fail. And in game one, Louisville, they took it to them in extras. They were one out away from losing, and then 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth, they have a 2 RBI single to break up the shutout, tie the game. And this is where I feel like we learned a lot about this Texas baseball program. Not in the sense that, oh, they went down and rolled over, because they didn't. In the top of the 10th, freshman Adrian Rodriguez hit an absolute moonshot, which anytime you see a freshman hitting a home run, that's cool. But hitting a home run of this magnitude where the team just went down, we knew we really need, or didn't go down, but they tied up. And it's like, hey, we really need someone to step up here. And you have a freshman doing that. That's a dangerous freshman. Now, Jared Spencer on the mound, he was really good. He went 5.2 innings, 6 Ks, only gave up 4 hits, 1 walk, but no runs. He worked around those hits and that walk. And he started against a really solid Louisville team. On the weekend, Texas went 2-1. They had some other impressive wins. Some guys that really stood out to me, Max Ballou, he went 8 for 14 with 2 doubles and 2 home runs to start off his 2025 campaign. This is a guy who had a lot of hype around him leading up to the season, and it's been really fun watching him live up to that hype. Another guy, of course, I already mentioned freshman Adrian Rodriguez, but he went 6 for 14 with 3 doubles and 2 home runs. Anytime you got a freshman who can rake like that, that's a freshman I want to watch throughout the rest of the season. Now, another guy who absolutely dominated at the plate for Texas was Will Gasparino. He went 5 for 14, but his 5 hits were a double, or 2 doubles, 1 triple, and 2 home runs. This Texas ball club, first of all, I don't want to see that kid hit a single single. I want him to go on and only have extra base hits this season, because I think that would be really cool. But this Texas team has a ton of talent, and it was really fun watching them put it together after kind of not necessarily getting their pants pulled off in the first game, but having a loss where they were so close to winning, and then the next 2 games just playing absolutely pissed off baseball. It was really fun to watch, I will be honest with you. Now, another team that performed particularly well in opening weekend was Arkansas. They swept Washington State. And the first game, it was a little bit shaky. I won't lie to you guys because I care about you. They got taken to extras, which, at first looking at it, it's like, oh no, that's not good. But Arkansas baseball had a plan. They go to extras, and it's okay because it sets up a dramatic walk-off win. But also, it gives us time to experience one of the coolest Vahiba Lloyd double plays I've ever seen. How many times in extra innings are you seeing a 6-2 double play? Now, this was at a time where they were already down 1 run in extras, and it was like, okay, we're going to need to score some to get back in it. But we had a runner on third, less than 2 outs, pop up. It looks like it's in no man's land. Vahiba Aloy had no business catching this baseball. First of all, catches it. Spinning, throws an absolute dart to home plate. Ryder Helfrich applies the tag, double play, inning over. And that honestly, anytime you see a play like that, you just know whoever did it, whatever team did it, is going to end up winning the game because that is an absolute momentum shifter. Now, Gabe Gackel was absolutely dominant on the mound. He went 5 innings, only gave up 1 hit, 1 walk, 0 runs. Zach Root, another guy, he's new to the SEC, new to Arkansas, transferring in from ECU, where he was dominant last season in the American Conference. He went 5 innings pitched, gave up 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 runs. Not the best outing you're going to see out of him, but definitely a good outing to just kind of get your bearings with a new team and a new ball club. One hitter that really stood out to me was Brett Iredale. This kid had 2 home runs on the weekend. He had a double, 7 RBIs. His home runs might have gone a combined like 950 feet. This kid was mashing baseballs. And honestly, it wasn't like they were off terrible pitches either. Like he hit pitchers' pitches out of the yard, which, as a former pitcher myself, that's very upsetting because pitching isn't easy, but also hitting is way harder, in my opinion. Either way, very impressed with Brett Iredale. He's a name you're going to want to keep an eye out for this season. Now, another thing that impressed me from this Arkansas team was the Aloy brothers, the brothers Aloy. Vahiva and Cujillo both had home runs in the same game. Vahiva is 2 for 10 on the season with 1 home run. Cujillo is currently 2-for-4 with a double and a home run, all of his hits being extra base hits. We love to see that. Now, one guy who pitches later today that I'm particularly excited to watch is Landon Beitelschies. He's a transfer from Ohio State. His first season, he was their closer. He had a 4.15 ERA. Second season, he doubles his innings pitched. He is a starting pitcher. Has a 4.15 ERA again. But this guy, if you're an Arkansas fan, you're like, man, I'm going to miss Mason Molina this season. Yeah, I mean, rightfully so. He's a good guy to miss. But Landon Beitelschies will absolutely fill that hole in your heart. He's a professional pitcher playing college baseball. Just wait to watch him. Now, another guy who really impressed me from this Arkansas team was Carson Wiggins. His first four collegiate pitches were clocked at 100 miles an hour, which that's a good 18 to 19 miles an hour harder than my first four collegiate pitches. The game's absolutely changed. It makes no sense to me that guys can be doing this and they're just rolling out guys who are 10 years younger than me throwing 20 miles an hour harder than I ever could. It's not really fair. And as a fan of college baseball, I'm like, what? What's the point? It kind of, I'm not saying it draws me away, but it hurts my feelings in a big, big way. Of his 16 fastballs, they sat with an average velocity of 99.1 miles an hour. I'm pausing here, not because I don't know what to say, half because I don't know what to say about that, but also because how in the world is that possible? Because that's a freshman. That's a freshman doing that. He's someone I'm going to be super excited to watch all season long, and I think Arkansas fans should be very excited about him. That is a phenomenal closer candidate to fill in Gabe Gackel's role from last season now that he's a starting pitcher. Moving along, we're going to Starkville, Mississippi to talk about Mississippi State, who swept Manhattan this weekend, and they play Southern Miss on Tuesday, which, as fans of college baseball, we're very lucky for that because it is such a sick in-state matchup. Southern Miss is full of guys who are upset. They want to beat the crap out of any in-state rival, and I feel like every time we see Southern Miss playing another Mississippi school, we get tons of clips of just like post-game interviews, during the game interviews, like, yeah, I hate them. Yeah, they hate me. And it's like, yeah, we hate them too. But either way, very exciting matchup. This weekend, though, against Manhattan, there were a ton of bright spots for Mississippi State. Starting off, Pico Cone went 5 innings pitched, only gave up 1 hit, 0 runs, and he punched out 11 dudes. Now, another guy who I think everyone in Mississippi State baseball should be excited about is Carson Ligon. He struck out 8 and 4 innings pitched. And then, of course, I would be a fool not to mention it wasn't his best outing ever. But Stone Simmons made his way back to the mound for the Bulldogs, and I couldn't be happier for the dude. Honestly, anytime a guy comes back after a long hiatus from the field, whether it be due to injury or whatever, I'm just rooting for them to stay healthy and have a decent outing. Again, he gave up 2 runs, I believe it was. Not his best outing ever, but at the same time, kid's back out there throwing baseballs, and I couldn't be more happy for him. As a player, it always hurt watching guys go down and be injured and have to sit and be away from the game that, you know, we all love, because then you have to be a normal student for a little bit, and that's something that's not really in any baseball player's plans. It's like, okay, sure, I'll go to school. I'll do my homework. I'll take some tests. I'll pass them, hopefully, if all goes to plan. But I won't have to be a regular student. I'll always have baseball at some point during the day to make me happy. And when you're injured, that's not the case. You know, the baseball turns from hanging out, shagging BP with your friends and throwing for about 25 minutes to, okay, I got to go to rehab, focus on doing all these little nuances to make sure I can get back and healthy. And so just really pumped that Stone Simmons is back. Speaking of being back to their old ways, Hunter Hines, nature is truly healing. Hunter Hines is 5-for-11 on the season. He had a double and a home run, but my life is significantly better when this dude's hitting home runs, because it's just like, okay, yeah, that's what's supposed to be happening. It's like nature's healing there. Now, Aaron Downs was another guy who impressed this weekend. He went 5-for-9 with 7 RBIs. And then freshman Ace Reese. Talk about a phenomenal name. Personally, if I were named Ace, I would try to be the best pitcher I could be. But if I could hit like Ace Reese, I would probably just stick to, hitting baseballs. He hit his first collegiate home run this weekend in his college baseball debut, and that was really fun to watch. I think he was one of the first guys to put the ball over the fence for the Bulldogs, and a lot of people followed. Moving on to South Carolina, we had Paul Menary's first time back as a head coach. He's very happy to have a coaching mind like Paul Menary back in the game because he's just an absolute legend. Now, they swept Sacred Heart, which I would personally not have been able to do. Sacred Heart has a player by the name Stake Newman, and that would have distracted me all weekend because I instantly would become a fan of that dude, like I did in real life. I was rooting for Stake Newman, though I want to see the Gamecocks have success because it makes me feel better about myself. All of their pitchers, this is very interesting to me. Every single Gamecock starting pitcher went 5 innings pitched with 9 strikeouts. They did have different numbers of walks and hits, which we'll get into. Jake McCoy, he had 0 hits, 1 walk, no runs. Matthew Becker, he gave up 1 hit in his 5 innings of work, 0 walks, 0 runs. Dylan Eskew gave up 3 hits and 1 earned run and 5 innings pitched, in which he struck out 9 guys. Now, this South Carolina pitching staff, I think, is going to be a lot more impressive than people have given them credit for. They ended up having 45 strikeouts in 25 innings of work. They run ruled a couple of times. Some games were cut short. And then, of course, Ethan Petrie back to his old ways. He's 3 for 8, currently has a double, a triple, and a home run. And I think it'd be sick. He's another guy. I'm rooting for him to only have extra base hits this season. There's no point in wasting our time hitting singles and things like that when you have the juice. So just to hit the extra base hits, hitting's very hard. So now another team that impressed me was Georgia. They went 3-1 on opening weekend. They beat Quinnipiac twice, then they split with UNCW. And before people were like, oh, that's not good, they lost to UNCW. UNCW is like one of the best teams in the CAA year after year. They're an absolute force. They make the NCAA tournament a lot. And this was also Coach Randy Hood's 150th career win coming against a ranked opponent. That makes me very happy because he's a good dude. Now, Paul Farley for Georgia, he went 5 innings pitched, gave up 1 hit, 0 earned runs. And I think the big question mark around this Georgia team is they have so many dudes who can throw upper 90s, low 100s. It's insane the amount of raw talent they have. And I think it's really good for them to get this experience early in the season. They're one of the teams where, as I mentioned before, if you schedule a little bit easier games, maybe not the toughest opponents in the universe, you're going to be able to put different guys in there and get experience and build up that confidence. And I think that's exactly what this Georgia pitching staff needed, not because they're bad, but because they have so much raw talent that, in games, that's when you can really refine it. Sure, in practice, you can get better. Sure, you can inter squad, but you're playing against your buddies all season. That gets pretty boring. You want to test your talent against different pitchers, different hitters. And so that's what opening weekend really is all about. Now, on the mound, another guy, Alton Davis, he's an Alabama transfer. He went 3.2 innings pitched, in which he struck out 7 guys. He throws from a weird, like Chris Sale-like arm slot. Really impressive to watch. VCU transfer Brian Curley was out there tossing 100 miles an hour. Absolutely insane work. He had this one pitch where he paused in his delivery before he threw it to home plate, and it was just like, okay, relax, dude, because it's getting pretty unfair at this point. He threw 2 hitless innings, 3 strikeouts. Now, I will say Georgia did struggle a bit offensively, but there were definitely some bright spots. First of all, Duke transfer Devin Obi. This is a guy who in center field defensively is going to buy you a ton of outs. He's just an absolute menace in the outfield, walking highlight reel, whatever you want to call him. But he had 2 home runs on the weekend with 6 RBIs. And then UNC Asheville transfer Robbie Burnett is currently a perfect 7 for 7 on stolen bases, which is just insane work to be 3 or 4 games in, 7 for 7. You're going to want to keep your eye on him, especially if you're an SEC catcher and you're listening to this episode just now. If Robbie Burnett's on first base, make sure to pay attention because he'll probably be on second if you don't. But Georgia's going to be playing the University of Illinois Chicago. So I'm very interested to see how their bats do because this again is another opponent where I feel like Georgia can handle them. I feel like it's a weekend where they can really put a lot of different guys in to get experience. And I think it's going to be a good way for them to get that confidence built up, get the numbers, boost the stats a little bit potentially. But again, University of Illinois Chicago, it's an early game. They have been practicing out in the cold most likely, or had a lot of practices canceled. So that's why I'm saying all these things. I don't think it's necessarily just a, oh, smaller schools coming to town, so they're going to get steamrolled. But I think the factors of being a northern school where you can't really get outside and practice as much will certainly come into play. Now, another SEC team that absolutely dominated this weekend was Florida in their sweep of Air Force. This is one I'm very excited about. Obviously, they no longer have Jack Caglione, who was the most exciting college baseball player last season, in my opinion, just doing it both. But I'm happy to report for the Florida Gators, they have a ton of other guys who can do really cool baseball stuff. So starting off, they have Liam Pederson. He was legit on Friday night. He went six innings pitch with 11 strikeouts. This was the most strikeouts by a Florida Gator on opening day, and it was also a career high for him. And then Saturday's second game, because they played a doubleheader, was started by Pierce Coppola. He went five innings pitch, only gave up one hit while striking out 12 dudes. This guy's 6'8", throwing from the left side in the up in like the mid to upper 90s. It's just disgusting stuff. I would not want to get into the box against it. Now, the pitching should be no surprise. They absolutely shoved. They had 47 strikeouts and 25 innings pitched. But again, this shouldn't be a surprise. One of the big additions they had this offseason was they added former closer from the 2017 College World Series championship team, Michael Byrne, to the coaching staff. And for Florida fans out there, don't worry. Mr. Byrne's playing career is not over. He's just returning as he rehabs from an injury. So he's spending time in Gainesville to do that and was like, hey, it's going to be a year. Might as well coach a little bit too while we're at it. Now, they looked solid on all fronts. They played great defense. They obviously pitched well. Ty Evans had an outfield assist. He threw out a runner at third base from right field. And it looked like he threw this ball no less than 105 miles an hour. At the plate, guy who really stood out was Brody Doné. He transferred in from Virginia Tech last season and didn't have the best year ever, but he's really come out to a hot start in 2025. He's 7 for 10 with three bombs and two doubles. He is hands down the largest human being I've ever met in my life. When I went up to the Cape in 2023, I believe it was summer of 2023, I met Mr. Doné, who's playing for the Hyannis Harbor Hawks. He was getting out of a Jeep. And I was like, how's this gentleman fit in there? Because he's like a walking door frame. Now, another guy who, of course, the Gators should be very happy to have back is Colby Shelton, former Alabama transfer. He went 4 for 10 with one home run, just kind of easing his way into the season. But I'm expecting many, many multiple home run weekends for him in the future. Moving along to another new contender in the SEC, we have Oklahoma, who this weekend swept Lehigh. They run ruled them every day except for Friday. Their pitching was pretty decent. One thing I really like about Oklahoma's starting pitching is they have twins who start on Friday and Saturday, which I think is really cool because it's like, hey, if Friday doesn't go your way, it's like, okay. Every pitch, we're reminded of that because we got an identical twin thrown at us on Saturday. And not to mention, both of them throw absolute noise. So they're going to be a ton of fun to watch and a ton of fun to keep up with this season. They had always talked about that this is really their dream. And they had talked about, hey, how cool would it be that we could play college baseball together one day? And they were both on Team USA this summer and they had great summers there. So I'm happy to see them rolling upon that success. Another guy who really stood out from Oklahoma was Kyle Branch. He had some great defensive plays, which he'll always do, but he was 5 for 10 with one home run. And then Easton Carmichael is a guy you're going to want to highlight his name every time he's in the lineup. He was 6-for-11 with 2 home runs, 2 doubles, a triple, and he's 3-for-3 on stolen bases. So this dude's doing a little bit of it all. And this Oklahoma team, they ran a lot this weekend. So they're going to attack offensively on all fronts, it seems like. They'll have guys who can put the ball over the fence, but they were also 15-for-17 on stolen bases as a team, which really fun to see, really exciting to see. Moving along in the SEC, we're going to look at Missouri real quick. They went 1-2 in the Puerto Rico Challenge. They lost 10-0 to Penn State. Then they beat UConn. Then they lost to Stetson. Penn State and Stetson both looking phenomenal this season. UConn's always a tough opponent. Personally, I love the Puerto Rico Challenge. It's good production. And you didn't have to buy any new subscriptions or anything like that to see it. Also, the commercials are just absolutely awesome. They have one commercial. A lot of them are in Spanish, I'll admit, and I didn't understand what was going on. But what I did understand was they had a mattress commercial for bigger sized people, which I think is just amazing. It was a great commercial, very funny. Highly recommend you check out the Puerto Rico Challenge strictly for that commercial, but also pretty good baseball going on there too. Now, Missouri was actually one of the SEC teams we played at while I was at UMBC, and we came to town very excited to prove ourselves, like I was talking out in the beginning of this episode. And we came to town, we were like, all right, Missouri Tigers, we could probably take one. Like, let's get after it. Friday night, we were greeted by a gentleman by the name of Bryce Montes de Oca, who was throwing 100 miles an hour before anyone else was, and they no-hit us. It was an awful day. The Saturday game was kind of close. We had the lead in extras, and then I blew it. I had gone 6 innings pitched, got walked off on a fly ball that got lost in the lights. Very not happy. 2 runs scored on that fly ball. It was not my favorite day of the year. But Missouri has a lot of bright spots. Ian Lose pitched really well. He went 4 innings pitched, struck out, only gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run, and had 8 strikeouts. Mateo Serna did well at the plate. He was 4-for-11 with 1 double, 1 home run. And then Brock Daniels really led this offense, going 4-for-10 with a double. And he was 3-for-3 on stolen bases. Kid absolutely flies. So he's going to be someone you want to keep your eye out on if you're following Missouri. Moving along to Alabama. Alabama was a team that enjoyed a lot of success this weekend in their sweep of Bradley. Justin LeBron was back in mid-season form. He went 5-for-8 with 3 doubles, a home run, and 7 RBIs. And not to mention the fact that he is a wizard with a glove out there at shortstop. Jason Torres is another guy who pretty much went off. He went 6-for-12 with a triple and a home run, 8 RBIs himself. This Alabama team is going to be a really interesting one. I feel like they have a lot of guys that, you know, were no longer with the team. Either they transferred out, or they graduated, or they went to the draft. So I feel like there's a lot of new faces to be excited about in this Alabama lineup. And this weekend was one of those weekends where it was really great for a lot of guys to get their feet wet in college baseball and get experience and get ready to go. So they only played 26 innings against Bradley because a couple of run rules, but they held a 3.12 ERA in 26 innings pitched, and they used 19 different pitchers. That's something I really like to see because it says, hey, look, we have a ton of different options in this bullpen, ton of different guys who could start games, but we need to see how they'll compete against other opponents, against people wearing different uniforms. Another guy who really impressed me on the mound out of Alabama was Riley Quick. He threw 3 shutout innings, only giving up 2 hits and 4 strikeouts. Moving along, staying in the state of Alabama, we're going to go to Auburn, where they just got done with a $30 million renovation to Plainsman Park. I think they got it done or they're still getting it done. Either way, they're close to finish. I think they might be finished by the time I'm saying this. But they went 2-1 against Holy Cross. Carson Myers and Cam Tilley both were sharp out of the bullpen. Carson Myers went 3 innings pitched, only surrendering 1 hit, no runs, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. This kid is, he's always been fun to watch. His dad was a pitching coach at UNC Wilmington. Now, I'm not sure where he's at, but this is a guy who, he knows baseball through and through. He's a baseball lifer, and so seeing him come out of the pen, be a lefty, he was a lefty matchup guy for a little bit there. Now, seeing him get these big moments and these big opportunities, I think he's really going to thrive. And then Cam Tilley also shoved. He went 2.2 innings pitched, only gave up one hit, no runs, no walks, two strikeouts. Now, speaking of Auburn, I would be a fool not to mention the weekend that Cade Belew had. He led the offense going 6 for 12, but he did have a home run the day that his mother passed away in the morning. And any player, I've had bad days as a baseball player personally in my personal life, and it was hard to go out and play baseball. So I can't imagine, and it was never dealing with anything as serious as this or as, tragic as this. But to go out there and still play, just tip of the cap from me, because that's really hard to do. But to go out there and absolutely thrive, hit this monumentous home run was really cool to see. And just one of those beautiful baseball moments where everything really comes together. And, a lot of people will use baseball as an escape or sports as an escape from what's going on in their life. And when you play the game the right way, when you really give your all for the game, it'll reward you. And this was one of those moments where it's a young man who's really given it his all. And he deserves something like that to make up for it a little bit and make things a little bit brighter. Put a happy note on this one, just the way I'm sure he would like for it to happen. Now, another guy who absolutely mashed was Cooper McMurray. He's already in midseason form. He went 4 for 10 with three doubles and a home run. Again, I don't want to see this guy hit a single single. I want to see him keep hitting these extra base hits. And now there's another guy who settled in well from ECU. This is Bristol Carter coming to the SEC this time. And in his new jersey, he's going 5 for 13 with a double. Buy stock in this kid now, because he's going to be someone who will impress you all season long. Kentucky had a weekend where they split a doubleheader with Lipscomb. They only played 16 innings, so you didn't really get to see enough of them to make a fair assessment. They got rained out on Sunday, and it was just awful weather in Nashville. But from what I did see, Nick Mackey, he's a senior graduate transfer from San Diego or South Dakota State University. That's the danger of abbreviations, because San Diego State and South Dakota State, two very, very different environments, different types of ball players. But he's coming from South Dakota. He went five innings pitched, only giving up two hits, two walks, no runs, and four strikeouts. Jackson Novi is another guy who I think absolutely shoved. He's going to be really impressive to follow this season. I know Kentucky, they did take a big hit. They lost Johnny Hummel last season. He was a transfer from Erskine at Division III. This kid absolutely shoved. So having pitchers step up to be able to replace the Johnny Hummel-sized hole in my heart in Kentucky baseball makes me happy. He went three innings, only giving up one hit, one walk, five strikeouts, no runs. This Kentucky team, I'm very interested to see what they're going to be like this season, because they made it to the College World Series last season. They've lost some key pieces. There we go. And so I'm interested to kind of see how they rebuilt their lineup. But the thing about Kentucky and Coach Mangione is they play like the scrappiest brand of baseball you will see. They're always going to find ways to manufacture runs and push them across, whether it be via home run or, a bunt single and just wreaking havoc on the base paths. Cole Hag led them offensively. He went 5 for 8 with a home run. Again, not a large sample size out of Kentucky baseball this weekend, but that's all right, because there's plenty of season left, believe it or not. This was only been opening weekend. Now, another team that had multiple people really shine was Vanderbilt. They went 2-1 at the Desert Invitational. They beat Grand Canyon, lost to Nebraska in an absolute thriller in which Nebraska's Gabe Swanson had six RBIs. I believe they won 6-4, and they beat UC Irvine. Now, Vanderbilt has a lot of moving pieces. I'm very interested to see how the pitching staff shakes out this season, but they're one of those teams where it's like everyone is as consistent as a jar of peanut butter, as consistent as a Slim Jim. I've never had a bad Slim Jim. I've never had a jar of peanut butter that didn't taste phenomenal. Now, starting off with consistent guys, RJ Austin, I feel like he's been a staple of college baseball for a while now. It feels like it's been way more than 3 years. I can't believe he's a junior. But he went 6-for-14 with a double, a home run, four RBIs. Riley Nelson leading the team in batting average right now. He went 6-for-13, one double, one home run, five RBIs. Then Jaden Davis, he's another guy who I think people really need to keep an eye out for. Not a ton of hype around this Vanderbilt lineup coming into the season, but I think they're ready to change that. Mr. Davis, he's currently 4-for-12 with two doubles, one home run. I think that this is a year where Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt could be really dangerous. I know they lost to Nebraska, but Nebraska is a very good team. They have a great team this year. And again, I think Vanderbilt, it's not going to be guys that really jump off the paper at you all the time, but it's going to be everyone. Like a lot of teams, they'll have high points and low points. This is a team that stays right down the middle and on the upper echelon of the middle, I would say. And I think just their consistency is going to really paper cut some people to death, along with the ability to hit the long ball this season. That was something they were really lacking last season. I know that they've all gotten bigger and stronger. That's how it goes. College baseball players tend to do that. So I expect the home run totals to be up. Now on the mound for Vanderbilt, JD Thompson was really good. He went 4.2 innings, only gave up three hits, one walk, struck out six guys. Cody Boker was another guy who I was impressed with. He went four innings, only giving up two hits, one walk, and six Ks as well. And Sawyer Hawks, he was a transfer from Air Force last season, really good closing pitcher. And I feel like we didn't hear a ton about him last season, but I expect him to have a big year this season. He went three innings, only giving up two hits, no walks, and five strikeouts. All things considered, I think there's a lot to be excited about surrounding the Vanderbilt team heading into 2025. All things considered, it was a very exciting opening weekend of college baseball for the SEC teams, and I think that there's a lot to be excited about this season, whether you're a fan of good pitching, fan of good hitting, or just a fan of good, clean fun. I think the SEC is going to be full of all three of those things this season. Now, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to leave a review to let me know how I did, how we can improve. And if you want to be cool, you can also go buy a College Baseball is Rad hat from BigDonkeyBrand.com. I appreciate all the support, and thank you so much for tuning in. And just a reminder, I will be back Thursday with another Backyard Bullpen episode where we talk about more things that happened in college baseball. Not so much just the SEC, but again, the SEC keeps doing exciting things, so I'm going to keep talking about them. But either way, college baseball of all levels is super rad, so make sure that you stay tuned, you subscribe, you like and follow, and hopefully, if you're feeling crazy, leave a review. And, you know, I just appreciate the support, and I appreciate you for listening. Have a great week, everyone.